Hello, this is Mark. Take a moment to listen to the following excerpt from Freedom Scientific's FS Cast, hosted by Jonathan Mosen, in which he interviews Doug Lee about his latest JAWS script for Skype version 4.0. Enjoy.
When you have a piece of software whose name has turned into a verb, you know that it's big, and that's certainly what's happened in the case of Skype. It's being used at home, in the office, in colleges. It is a phenomenon. And for some time now, there's been a brand new version of Skype. It is Skype version 4. It's significantly different from its predecessors. To talk about Skype version 4 and the current state of JAWS access to Skype 4, thanks to his scripts, is Doug Lee, who has been on the program before to talk Skype. There's so much new that we thought we'd bring him back again. Doug, great to have you on FSCast.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So you are on a Verizon wireless card, right, in a hotel room. So that's pretty impressive in itself that the audio codec in Skype means that even with fairly limited bandwidth, we're able to have this conversation.
I will say that I've been on a Verizon card before, but I have so rarely used Skype 4 on it. This is much better than I was expecting. So because I was expecting this not to work too well, and I did an echo test right before we started this conversation, and it worked beautifully. So, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things about Skype that I've noticed since upgrading to 4, and I spend a lot of time in hotel rooms all by myself, so I call my wife and my kids back in New Zealand, is that it is much more tolerant of low bandwidth conditions. But let's go back to the beginning and talk about Skype 4. Is it too much of a stretch to say this is basically a whole new application that they've given us here?
Well, it's a rewrite, and that's their word. Skype, the company, has actually rewritten the application. The interface will have some common elements, some of which are obvious, some of which you have to do a couple of things to get them to show up. But on the whole, they significantly redesigned it. It is different in appearance, and it's different in the way you do things in both. So yes, it's going to look different. It's not going to be just a minor upgrade for people. There will be a learning curve for blind and sighted alike.
Would you say that Skype 4 is harder to use than Skype 3 right now?
For blind people, at the moment, yes. I don't really think that it will be, but again, it's going to be different enough that it's going to be hard to compare, at least initially, for anybody who wants to use it, because there will be enough changes that they'll have to get used to that. It is different now. It's harder now because there are, and Skype knows this, the company knows this, there are some things that are not accessible yet. Their website actually says right now for blind people to use 3.8 because they haven't finished making Skype 4.0 accessible. I would say anybody who wants to play on the edge and wants to start the learning curve early can go ahead and play with Skype 4, but just be prepared. It's going to take a little bit of getting used to, but I don't think it'll be harder once everything settles down. It's different.
You know, I want to really congratulate you because the impact that your JAWS scripts have on the usability of Skype is just phenomenal when you put 4 on the system. It's like night and day. I wonder if we can just go through some of the key elements of the user interface changes. You have these tabs on the screen, right? And it's really important to understand what those tabs do and how they function.
Well, in Skype 3, we had tabs in the traditional sense. We had things like a contact list tab and a tab for history and a tab for any active call, and you could use control tab to go between them. And you had separate chat windows. You can get separate chat windows in Skype 4 when you get there, but by default you don't. In Skype 4, the biggest change for people to get used to, in my book, is that they change the way you deal with events. You had an event panel at the top of Skype 3. In Skype 4, you have a separate list, and I'm going to call it a little bit like a tab. It's not exactly a tab, but it's sort of similar. You have a list, and it's kind of thought of as an inbox, which, of course, is going to call to mind the idea of a mail program. The way Skype 4 does events is much more like mail. In Skype 3, if I called you and I left you a chat line and a voicemail and a file that I wanted to send you, you'd have 4 missed events. What you have in Skype 4 is one entry in the inbox that's from Doug Lee, and you open that, and inside of that you have a call, a chat, a voicemail, and a file transfer. So they kind of become instead of having missed events, you have conversations, which is their word for chats now, that have new contents. And so it's very, it might work to think of it like an email program where you have unread messages. You have conversations where you have unread content, and they'll show up as an entry, and then you go read them to see what they are. That is a big enough logical change that people have some getting used to that. But it's actually got its advantages. For one thing, you can always see your missed events, your missed activity, and sometimes it's even quicker to deal with them. You don't get an event for every kind of thing from one person. You get one entry, and then you go see what they are. And you can also kind of leave things around until you want to deal with them. New events have a tendency, or new conversations have a tendency to sort of drift up to the top of the list. So you can choose how often you clean it up, just like you do your inbox. You may leave red content in there, and you may delete it out of there. We do not have tabs in the sense that you had tabs in Skype 3. You have, if you're running the scripts, which I guess I'm going to assume for this conversation, we're going to assume that, you have the same commands because I implemented it that way. You use Control-1 for the contact list, Control-2 for the inbox, and there's some other ones that are going to act like tabs, but they're not going to get called tabs by Skype. There are other changes, but that's probably the biggest thing that people need to get used to.
Yeah, and one of the things as a consequence of all those changes is that when you are speaking with someone or you have a conversation, a text chat open, then the person with whom you're conversing in any way, be it with voice or text, is moved from the contact list to what they call the live conversations list. So if people want to know where did my contact go that I'm talking to, that's where it's disappeared off to.
Yes, and there's a reason for that that is not obvious for if you haven't seen the screen. What they did visually is they have the live conversation list, as we call it, is really the top area of the contact list. Visually, it doesn't even look like a separate list. What happens is when you have a live call, that becomes sort of a frozen entry at the top of the contact list visually. So if you say to a sighted person, well, how come my contact left my contact list? They're going to say, well, it's not. It's just at the top of it. But in terms of the implementation, they use a separate list control. So in JAWS, it is a separate list. But that's kind of the logic behind it. That's why it leaves the contact list from our standpoint and goes up to the top, because visually it just looks like it moved inside of the contact list up there.
What are some of the problematic areas with Skype 4 right now, even when the scripts are running?
When the scripts are running, you do get a lot more information, like what has new content, for example. But you have a number of things that Skype is going to have to work on, and they, again, know this. I was actually out there talking to them in Estonia last year, trying to tell them what kinds of things they needed to do. They need to, for example, give us better access to file transfers and voicemails. I did a little bit of scripting for this, but as I mentioned before, those show up as entries in a conversation, kind of like a chat line. So for a file transfer, you're going to see Doug Lee sent you a file and a name, and then there's going to be a save button and a cancel button. But those are going to be on the screen in that chat entries area, and they're not really going to be spoken, and they're not going to say button. So you have to go into the list of messages, and you had a list of messages in Skype 3 too. There was a command to go to that. In Skype 4, it's a Control-5 when you have a chat window open. And you go in there and find the entry you want, route your JAWS cursor to PC and go down and find where it says save, cancel. It won't say button because it's text JAWS, and click on one. That's not ideal, and they know it, and they're going to try to make that more accessible for us. Similar for voicemail, you got a voicemail duration and a play button. You have to go do the same type of trick and go down and find the play where it just says play right after the duration. That kind of thing is not ideal, and we're going to get that worked on and made more accessible. As I understand it, they're going to do that.
How far away do you believe a resolution might be for some of these issues?
That I really couldn't say. I would hope and expect that it would be the next major release. I can't really commit Skype to what their release schedule is, but that's what I would hope that they would do. and I actually believe they will, just because the fact that they put a note on their website saying this is not accessible means two things to me. One, they know what that means now. And two, if they're going to advertise to the world that it's not accessible, it's going to annoy somebody in there until they actually make it happen. So I think they're going to make it happen.
So it's pretty cool that you have the ear and obviously the respect of some key people in Skype. You've been over there, you were saying. What was that experience like, going over and visiting Skype HQ?
That was fascinating. It was, for me, it was kind of a dream come true. I wanted to be there because I've worked with them for so long. I talked to some of the people, a lot of them by chats and some of them by voice. Kind of gotten to know some of them a little bit. I've been to other countries before. I'd never been to Estonia. I can tell you that the Swiss hotel where I was staying was quite an experience in and of itself, but that's another story. It was a great place. The Skype offices are, you know, I wouldn't say they were unique as far as offices go. It was just kind of a long multi-level building with a couple of halls and things in between them, that, you know, places where people sat, kind of an open plan environment. But it was fun. It was really nice, and it was nice to be able to talk to the developers directly and the management. Some of the management from England came down to be in the meetings. And I got to tell them a lot of things about how to make accessibility happen, what we need to do, how to do some in-house testing, kind of got to hang out with a lot of more of the English people for dinner, because, of course, we all stayed in the hotel, so we all had to go someplace. So I kind of ate out with the English guys about, you know, every day of the week.
Were they very interested then in seeing the way that you as a blind person use Skype with JAWS? I wanted to see how it all fit it together and how it runs.
Yes, they were. They were quite interested in how JAWS work. They are probably more experienced now looking at JAWS than anything else screen reader wise, unless they use Narrator in house. Just because, I mean, I have been working with them for a long time and using JAWS. They've now seen JAWS, and they know. I don't know if they've used the scripts, but I would actually prefer that they try things without the scripts. Obviously, we want them to make it accessible innately, and I think that's what they're doing. But yes, they are interested in it. I'm sorry, I'm just going to go on record to say this. I'm sorry that they didn't get 4.0 out fully accessible, but again, I believe they know. The design of Skype 4 started before they got me there. You know, I said it was a rewrite, so it started a long time ago. And I'm putting this on here because a lot of people don't realize how come they don't have Skype for fully accessible. They've done, I think, a pretty good job at putting it in the priorities. I can't, of course, enforce or make their schedule, but they've definitely made it part of their commitment. They've got people working on it. They've got, obviously, money invested into it now, and made a public announcement about it without me asking them to do anything like that. So. All in all, I think it's a good record.
So let's say that I'm interested in having a go with Skype 4, and I'm going to install Skype 4. I'm going to go to your website and pick up the scripts and install that. Is there anything else that I should do to optimize my use of Skype in terms of compatibility with the scripts or just overall ease of use?
Assuming you're coming from Skype 3 background, which probably anybody wants to do this, I'm going to reiterate that this is for people that want to kind of play on the edge. This is because there's still some accessibility issues. There are still going to be bumps. If you need Skype in a production environment, et cetera, and you don't want to take the time, Skype 3.8 is still a good place to stay. But to go to Skype 4, you would do this. You would download Skype 4. You download the scripts from my website. You would probably then want to go into the and there's some directions on my site for this now. You would want to go into the options menu, the general, which is the same in Skype 3 and 4. You go into tools and then options, and the first page that comes up is general. But you tab for a while, and you're going to get to a thing that says classic, or I forget the name, Chrome, I think they call the other one, but I forget the name of it. There's a radio button set for which view of Skype to use. If you use the default, which is what they call Chrome, your Alt key is not going to say when you go into a menu. So most people want to fix that. Do go to Classic. The other thing that people do is, because they're used to Skype chats popping up as windows, the default manner of doing it in Skype 4, which they call default view, is to have a chat and only one at a time inside the main Skype window. If you want it to act like it used to, where they pop up when somebody sends you a line and you can alt tab between them, you go into the view menu, and the last option in that is going to say compact view. If it says default view, you've already done this, because what it says there is what you're changing to. Compact view is the one that the chats pop up separately, and they call it compact because it makes the main Skype window narrower like it used to be in Skype 3. So you might want to change to compact view so that your chats pop up like they used to. Those are the two main things. There may be a couple that I'm not remembering right now, but those are the main things that people seem to want to do with Skype 4 to make it more familiar right off.
Yeah, when the first builds of Skype 4 came out, there was an additional option you could turn on, and I forget the exact terminology, but it was something to do with accessibility keystrokes or something like that. And then they put out a couple of update builds, just minor hotfixes, and all of a sudden that option disappeared off the view menu.
That's kind of coming and going as they work on it. Again, since this is a rewrite, there are things that were in Skype 3 that didn't really get migrated over to Skype 4. They've been rewritten in Skype 4. But there are some things that were migrated. So in the early Skype 4s, there were some options for accessibility, extended keyboard navigation, and simplified graphics are the ones you're thinking of there. And those are in Skype 3. I don't remember what the current one has in it. I think there might be something, and I think it's under Tools. I'm going to just go ahead and look really fast. I think it is. And the one I've got, which is the current Skype 4. Okay, it's not actually in there.
Right. It was earlier, but they've taken it away.
Yeah. There's been some changes there. My understanding is they're either going to put it there because we need it, or they're going to leave it out because we don't.
Okay.
And that's going to be determined by what they consider default behavior in the client. They'll only put something in there like that if we actually need a variant from the main behavior that's just for accessibility.
If you try it and you really don't like it, how easy is it to revert to Skype 3.8 after going over to 4?
Well, I'll say as easy as 1, 2, 3, and then I'll tell you what 1, 2, 3 means. 1, you install Skype 3 over Skype 4, and it'll ask you if you want to downgrade, which you can say yes, and it'll do that. 2, you install Skype 3 scripts over Skype 4 scripts. You just go get them and install them, and you don't have to uninstall Skype 4 scripts. You just sort of install 3 over them. And 3, run it. You should see what you saw before.
So where can we find these scripts if we want to have a play and download Skype version 4 scripts for Jaws?
Okay. The main website for Skype information and scripts that I've put up is at www.dlee, that's D as in Doug, L-E-E, .org/Skype. And that will have the scripts and the instructions, installation instructions, manuals, whatever, everything that's related. I do have links up there for the different kinds of scripts or different versions. So the first thing you might want to do after going there is to choose which Skype version you are looking at, Skype 3 or Skype 4. And then you're going to have scripts under there for the various releases that I've done for the different Skype versions.
There's also a very useful email list that deals with Skype from a blindness perspective, and I think you offer a link to that email list on that website.
There is, and the list is called Skype English. That's Skype English run together, no punctuation. And it's located at emissives.com. That's, again, no punctuation, emissives, M-I-S-S-I-V-E-S.com. There is a link there for where you can go to actually sign up. That is where I make announcements of script updates and where people post bug reports and problems and whatnot, so that the whole community can help each other out, so that it's not only me doing tech support.
Yes.
I'm also going to make one other commitment, because I've actually done it, but I've implemented this, but I haven't released it yet. So let's see how good I am at getting myself in trouble saying I'm going to do something before it's happened. In the scripts in the next release for Skype 3 and Skype 4, there will be a help link JAWS has a tendency to do double insert F1 to go to a sort of general help page. What I'm going to do is make double insert F1 go to an online manual. And the manual will actually be on this website we're talking about, but it will just go straight there, much like Control-Shift-W now goes to the homepage. If you're running the scripts, you can use Control-Shift-W to go to the homepage for Skype that I just gave the address for. A double insert F1 very soon will actually go to the manual for the Skype 3 or Skype 4 version that you're running.
Well, thank you for giving us all of this access to Skype 4. You're doing a terrific job with this, and I appreciate you coming on FSCast. I have no doubt that people will give it a go and see what they think of Skype 4. I appreciate it.
That's excellent, and it will definitely I think Skype, we might be making Skype nervous by using 4.0. They want us to use 4.1, but I think the more people that try this and want to be part of the process of helping it come to fruition, the better. Because it's more customers, it's more voices.
Doug Lee, ending the April edition of FSCast. We will be back next month with more. Until then, thank you for listening, and bye for now.